This is the Lubetkin on Communications podcast for Thursday, January 14th, 2016. Welcome to the Lubetkin on Communications podcast. I'm Steve Lubetkin, your host, Podcast Steve on Twitter. This program is about communications, public relations, and journalism, and we speak with interesting personalities in those fields. Our guest on this program is Gregory Weber. Greg is the president of Garden State Press Clipping Bureau. Garden State Press Clipping was established in 1962 by Greg's dad, and he ran it from 1965 until 1989. In 1989, after Bill Weber's death, Greg took over, and he's been running the business ever since. Garden State Press Clipping specializes in New Jersey and surrounding metro areas and reads more than 500 different daily and weekly newspapers, newsletters, and chamber-type publications from around New Jersey. Greg is also the executive director of the Jersey Shore Public Relations and Advertising Association. He spoke to us from his office in Red Bank, Monmouth County, New Jersey. Greg, thanks for joining us on the Lubetkin on Communications podcast.
Appreciate the invitation, Steve.
Greg, talk a little bit about Garden State Press Clipping. Your dad started the business back in the 60s, and you took it over. Take me through the process. What got him into the business in the first place?
The business was founded in 62. My father bought in 65. He was a salesman for Monroe Calculating Machines at the time, and he was looking to expand and go into another area. So he bought it. He was in Jersey City at the time, if I remember the notes properly. It's a little, some of the material from back there hasn't been written down as well as it should have been. And the industry, he like I said, he took it over in 65. I worked all through high school doing it and all through college. And my father got lung cancer in 1980. So he was out for a while, and I helped run the business in Pete, Montclair, and So I cut my teeth. The one interesting fact I'm starting to throw out a lot now is July of 16 will be 40 years from me doing this.
What was it about the news clipping business that made your dad get attracted to that? Do you know?
He never went into great detail in that. The big thing he'd always said was he was always on commission and he wanted to work for himself. So he went to a company, from what I understand, that sold businesses, and I guess they went over statistics of what he wanted, how much he wanted to invest, and that's how he backed into it. He was working in Jersey City at the time, and the company was there, so I'm sure that's how they crossed paths. But we never really got into great details of what brought him to where we are right now.
So flash forward to 40 years ago when you joined the business. What was the clipping business like 40 years ago, and how does it compare to what you do today?
It's dramatically different. 40 years ago, my first full day of work was July 4th, 1976, because that's the day the office went down. And we moved the office from Newman Springs Road to the house.
That's literally trial by fire.
Absolutely. So that was my first full day, and I spent most of the summer working for my father, finding out the little idiosyncrasies of the business. But basically, back then, it was very simple. You got newspapers, you had clients, you cut out the articles, and you mailed them. Back then, the copy machines weren't even around. So if you needed extra copies of two clients were in one particular article, you had to send for another paper. So it was a lot of, people did not expect things as quick as they do now.
So how many papers do you read on a daily basis, and how many readers do you have? How does that process work?
I have 12 employees, and they work anywhere from readers to production to scanners and such. The amount of newspapers we read a day, I don't know. I do know we get about 525 different hard copy of papers. Most of those are weekly. We get maybe 50 dailies, probably more like 40 dailies. And the rest of them are either weeklies or magazines or things along those lines. On a day-to-day basis, I don't know. I usually just tell people a lot.
And what kind of clients do you have? It used to be traditionally that clipping services were something that public relations agencies and corporate PR departments would engage to monitor news about the organization. Is that still the primary focus of the business? Or?
Well, it's a primary focus of our business. We really felt that that's a good outlet for us to hit upon, but it really isn't anymore because we figured out something like only 15% of our clients are only in one specific discipline. So we have anywhere from a mom and pop store down the street up to a Fortune 500 company or Fortune 100 company. So it's a vast array. Most of my clients are nonprofits, but it's just we no longer have the template to work with that we used to.
What are they looking for in the clippings? Are they looking for stories about their organization?
Most of them are about their organization, outreach programs, things like that that they're doing. I would say maybe 15% of our clients use it as a sales lead. People who are looking to sell fire trucks. We have a client that sells brand new fire trucks. We have clients that do recycling. We have clients that are looking for sales leads to build schools. Clients who are looking for leads to tear down schools. So we give them a heads up notice on sales leads also.
And I imagine that the rise of the internet over the past 20 years or so has dramatically changed the way you can scan for news.
Yes. And it hasn't always been in the press clipping bureau's advantage of doing so. Google alerts out there, Google Analytical, and they've affected. It's really been seen most the last, I felt, in the last 6 years where we've really seen a lot more competition. We're starting to see it switch back over because they're realizing, most people are realizing that just because it's on the web doesn't necessarily mean it's in print and vice versa. So from our standpoint, my business model is we try to cover both sides of the coin as much as possible.
So what are some of the delivery options that you offer now that are, you know, different and more efficient than cutting out the paper dolls and mailing them out to people?
Well, we scan, we fax, and we have our portal, which is our archiving and delivery system, which has worked out very well. Our goal is to move everybody we can to the portal because then we can cut out, it's almost instantaneous, and we can cut out the page that we're worried about. Mailing stuff out. Some clients still want it. We still have clients who want those hard copies. They can put them up on their bulletin board in the office and pass them around. But what a lot of our clients are really more looking for is just the statistic of how many people saw it, how often it appeared, if there was a color picture, black and white, and what the ad equivalency value of the article was. That's what we're leaning more towards now.
And now the other thing is you also do monitoring of TV and you do clip analysis. Talk a little bit about those two features.
That's correct. We're what we consider full service media monitoring service. We read print, magazine, we do radio, TV, and we do what we call our ACAR, Advanced Clip Analysis Report. So what we can do is we can go to a client, we can give them at the end of the month or at the end of the day because the portal will give it on demand. How many articles they've had over a certain time period, how many people saw it. If you had taken out the equivalency of an ad to that article, how much it would be worth. And if you're on TV, we can also give you the statistics behind that of how many people saw it, what that ad value is, and it's also on demand. So if you put it on the portal, you have access to your clips, the reports, TV, radio, pretty much anything you need whenever you need it.
Now, you've also taken on a new role as the executive director of the Jersey Shore Public Relations and Advertising Association, which has been around for close to 40 years. You've been president of the organization. How is that role going to play into what you're doing every day?
I'm an executive director. They established that position a couple of years ago because I didn't have any place else to put me. They wanted to keep me, you know, at arm's length. Basically, what I've spent a lot of time with Jasper, probably pushing 30 years now, is I have a lot of knowledge of what we do every year and how we can set things up and move things along in a more precise way. So that's my position as executive director to say, you know, okay, well, we've got the scholarship coming up, but we can't just do that in 2 weeks. We've got to put stuff out 2 months ahead of time, and we have to work on the elections 2 months ahead of time and things like that. And then the other side, I can say over the years, what we've done it has worked, so we might want to try something new and so on and so forth. And I feel that the area of networking now is even more important than it was many years ago. People don't get out that often, so they really, the times that they do get out and network, either for breakfast or lunch or dinner, it's more valuable and people are really expressing a lot more energy into those, just not as frequently as they used to.
What are some of the changes you've seen in the way people practice public relations and advertising over the past four decades in the business?
It's gone from stone tablets to instantaneous. It actually is pretty amazing. Every once in a while, we'll pull up old articles in about the industry in the office or something. And we all have a desk drawer full of files of old articles and how things were and how things were printed. And so it's pretty amazing. The industry has changed dramatically, and I think we've kind of there's more room to grow, but I think the acceleration is going to slow down.
There's been, a massive dislocation in the journalism industry with thousands and thousands of reporters and photographers and other journalists losing their jobs as the print universe shrinks. What effect is that going to have? What do you think is on the horizon in the future for the journalism industry?
Journalism, in a very brief sentence, I say the weeklies are where it's at now. I feel bad for the large dailies, but they just can't cover what they need to cover the way the business model is set up. Because they put everything out online, why pick up the paper if it's free online?
Do you think they made a critical mistake at the dawn of the internet era by giving it away on the websites?
I think, it's very easy to Monday morning quarterback, and I don't like to do that. I would say if I had it to do all over again, what a good system would have been to say, go to app.com and have a house burns down Middletown. Oh, if you want to proceed further, you have to type in your passcode. You got to whet the person's appetite to get them involved with that. But the weeklies are where we're really seeing things grow. We have, I live in Wall, our co-star, which is a tremendous paper. I really like it. It's 80 pages or so, 70 pages. Real local micro information. Red Bank has three weeklies that I can find. So, it's the weeklies that seem to be covering the area that people are reading them.
What do you see in the future? What kind of innovations do you see for the clipping business and for the press business and in general for communications?
In our industry, we're keeping a close eye on things. We feel everything's going to move a lot quicker. People will still continue to want stuff faster. The clip reports are more important now, what the analyticals are behind them, what the ad value are behind it, how many people are seeing it. I like I said earlier, I think the whole industry is going to slow down just a little bit now because I think it's kind of saturated. I could be wrong. I've been wrong many times before, but I just don't feel that it's going to continue at the rate it's going.
Greg, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Good talking to you.
And that will wrap things up for this edition of the Lou Betkin on Communications podcast. We hope you enjoyed the program. If you have comments or suggestions about these programs, please write to us. My email address is steve@loubetkincommunications.com. We produce these programs in the studios of Professional Podcasts, a division of the Lubetkin Media Companies in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, on the web at beingthemedia.com. For everyone at Professional Podcasts and the Lubetkin Media Companies, this is Steve Lubetkin. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.